In Pennsylvania, former President Donald Trump is nearly killed in an assassination attempt. Woody and I are going to discuss some key points in that story that has obviously gripped the nation. In Louisiana, a man is wanted for domestic abuse and kidnapping after a woman is found stabbed in the middle of a road. And in Missouri, a man tortures women in a sex lair while cross-dressing. These stories and more coming at you today, Tuesday, July 16th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
What a hell of a weekend it has been in the crime news.
Unreal.
Sector.
Yeah, unreal. And we'll talk about it and we'll get into it. And, of course, everybody in the world knows about it. But let's just do it and get down to some true crime time for Tuesday.
And we're going to start off in Pennsylvania. And former President Donald Trump was shot during a rally on Saturday. He was immediately shielded and taken to safety after his ear was injured. Details are emerging about how it happened. And the identity of the shooter has been released. Thomas Matthew Crooks, who is 20. President Joe Biden delivered an address from the Oval Office several times over the weekend, stating he was grateful Trump was not seriously hurt. The shooting took place at a presidential campaign rally in Butler, which is a city about 35 miles north of Pittsburgh. About 6 minutes into Trump's speech, the former president could be seen grazed by a bullet near his ear. As gunshots rang out, he ducked to the ground as several Secret Service agents rushed that stage, surrounding him on all sides. And there were screams you could hear from onlookers as that scene unfolded. Roughly a minute later, agents helped Trump get up from the ground and stand. He held his fist up to the crowd, prompting cheers from supporters. And several agents then rushed him off the stage and escorted him into a vehicle. Now, according to reports, up to eight shots were fired. I'm seeing between seven and eight shots fired by that shooter. Sadly, Corey Compentori was killed in that incident. He was 50, a former fire chief. Yeah. And according to his profile, he worked as a project and tooling engineer at JSP, which is oddly this the rooftop in which that assassin was perched, I guess you could say. Shots were fired from outside of that security perimeter, though only 130 yards from the former president. And I think that's something I'd like to discuss, especially with you, Woody. You have some experience with this. What are your thoughts, man? I mean, what were you thinking Saturday when you saw this?
Well, I was sitting in my chair watching a baseball game, and my son was on the couch, and he said, "They just shot Trump." And so I swapped it over, and, you know, I didn't really know anything. And then I saw him, you know, grab his – they were showing the replay, and I saw him grab his ear and then go down and what have you. But I heard like six or seven shots and heard the tut, 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 tut. And I knew it was an AR. And, you know, they go down. There's just a lot of things I have to say about it, but the – it'll all come out of the wash, but there's obviously, okay, let me back up. I bodyguarded a lot of people, all right, including Dr. Martin Luther King's wife way back in like 1996 or whenever it was the first one I bodyguarded. Different ones, Governor Bobby Jindal's first day in office, I bodyguarded, and different ones. And you go in and you do these pre-things, pre-assessments, threat assessments of the area, and there should have been no way that rooftop should have been empty. I mean, they should have had a Secret Service. Now, look, Secret Service is not – it's they – and I've worked several presidential rallies, candidate rallies and stuff like that over the years, and you go in and there's not a window. If there's a window, much less a fucking rooftop, that anywhere somebody could pop up and do it, you have that marked as a potential target and somebody's watching it, right? Yeah. The rooftop, at 130 fucking yards, they should put a sniper up there. But Secret Service is limited. And during election times, they will bring – most people don't know the Secret Service. The biggest part of Secret Service is actually uniform patrol. They're the ones that guard the state buildings and the White House and all that. It's very few that are in plain clothes. Now, during election times like this, they will bring some of those uniform guys and put them in plain clothes and send them out. Or like if a bunch of world leaders come in and stuff like that. But the pre-assessment – so anyway, when they come into a city, they work with the local – guys, right? And I've done that many times. And you come in and you have the pre-assessment and you walk through and you look at everything and what have you. Somebody fucking dropped a ball on that roof.
Massive security failure.
And if anything, you should have had one of your snipers on that roof, right?
Yeah. And you know, when you look out and everybody's seen the maps of the aerial photography of the area and where Trump was speaking in relation to that rooftop. And when you look out, that is the most obvious place. That would be the first place, right, if I'm a shooter, that I'm going to say, ooh, that'd be a good spot. Yeah. Undoubtedly, the Secret Service stands out there. And like Woody said, they do like a pre-deal where they'll go out there and they'll assess that area and look for all these places and make note of it. Now, there are some information coming out saying that the Secret Service requested more help from the Department of Homeland Security, and they were denied. The Department of Homeland Security is denying this. And you'll see that, whether it happened or not, will come out in the wash eventually. If that indeed happened, that's a big problem. If it did not happen, the Secret Service does work with local and state police.
They couldn't do their job without them.
Couldn't do it without them.
First of all, the local guys know the scene. They know the players. The Secret Service has a one section where if somebody sends in threats or whatever, they just go talk and they'll assess the threats. And, yeah, they'll go talk to the people.
Yeah.
They may not have broken the law. They may have just sent I'd like – see you not be here anymore,
right? Yeah,
and what have you, and that goes on every day,
sure.
But they can't do it without the local guys.
They can't, and
that's everything. Look, it's not just rooftops. I mean, it's scanning people to get in. It's vehicles. I mean, parking areas and everything else.
It is, and so that's one disturbing aspect of this. Now, the Secret Service that was on the ground, the ones that actually protected, you know, tackled them, they did a wonderful job. 1.6 seconds from the time the shot was fired to the time they were on top of him. And then if you noticed, and I'm sure everybody did, they had these guys come out and they had automatic weapons, and there was three of them. Those are actually it's a unit that goes with the Secret Service, and they are part of the Secret Service, and they actually protect the guys that are protecting the president. So those three guys were on three different points of that stage with those automatic weapons. And, you know, if they saw that shooter,
this is a bit controversial because, you know, I bleed blue, but there's a shitstorm coming for the Secret Service.
And
to the point of what you just said about 1.6 seconds and all that, I'm not throwing any shade. I'm just telling you what's fucking coming. Him saying, let me get my shoes and all that shit. So anytime when you do your pre-assessment, one of the things you establish is evacuation routes. And if evacuation route number one is closed, where you have a vehicle weight and everything. Mm-hmm. If something happens and let's say the shooter was on that path, you have evacuation route number two. And they'll know this.
Yeah.
But the getting them down, covering them, I understand that. But and I love the fist pump and everything else. But I just know that
shouldn't have been allowed.
If they had to pick him up and carry him like Superman flying through the air, his ass should have been out of there.
Look, when Ronald Reagan got shot, did you remember watching that?
Yeah.
So, y'all, they grabbed him, and he was absolutely immobile at that point. Right. They threw him so hard into the limo, he broke his ribs.
That's right.
If you'll remember.
And you remember those guys, and girls or ladies are sworn to take that bullet for them. Just like,
and they, that's where they
the Brady Bill comes from. But the background checks we all have to go through now is because of when it happened on Reagan. But the guy that got killed, his last name was Brady.
Yeah.
One of the Secret Service.
Yeah.
And so, but back to it, I'm just going to say,
I didn't know where that came from.
They're going to come back and they're going to say that they should have swamp donkeyed his ass and they could have covered him up, carried him out. But I understand Trump's, you know,
Trump.
But he was in, I mean, who gets shot that goes to prove to you about shock? Who gets shot and then is like, let me get my shoes, right? But you're in shock because that you're shot and this is going down. But what you're not thinking about is there could have been shooter two, shooter three, and along.
Yeah, you don't know how many.
You're in the kill zone, and thank God, and we could talk about that in a minute, but thank God he didn't get killed. That's a miracle in itself. But they should have had him out. And even when he's getting in the vehicle and he turns around and does the last pump, that there's another shooter that could have killed him. You see what I'm saying?
100%. I mean, very
but true. I'm not throwing shade on them. They did what they, I mean, I guarantee that even though they trained over and over again on getting the people that are protecting in and out, I guarantee they train probably half the year just for situations like this. But that's why you train. You play the way you practice.
And, that's right.
And it's unfortunate. It's horrible that it happened, not unfortunate. Somebody's fucked on that rooftop. That's just that's
– Yeah, that should have never
happened. Somebody's going to roll for that.
I mean, Elon Musk came out shortly after on Twitter and said the head of the Secret Service should resign immediately. Let me ask you this, last question on this. Let's talk about the weapon real quick, and let's talk about the likelihood. I mean, how close was Trump to being killed?
He should have been dead.
Yeah.
It was 130 yards.
Yeah.
Okay, I can hit you at 130 yards with an AR, open sights. I mean, my 14-year-old could do that. So the guy shooting, and then he fired multiple rounds. Okay, so when you fire the first one, you get a little bit of kick, and ARs don't kick that much. But during the Vietnam War, ARs, they were M16s then, they had single shot, fully automatic.
Yeah.
And because they proved they wasted millions and millions of rounds, when they get into firefights, they'd have them fully automatic, and you go, it takes this long. The problem with that is, when I can aim at you like this, as soon as I start firing that fully automatic, it's off target. You can't control it. The gases and whatever press the barrel up. Then now they have one shot and three round bursts. But this guy was shooting, from what I was hearing, was at least two. It was like ta 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 ta, and thank God he was a shitty shot.
Yeah, because usually in your first shot, it's always going to be your most accurate.
Absolutely.
Because you're aiming right for so long right with that shot. You were in a SRT team.
That's correct.
What weapon did you use for that?
I had an AR, but I had two weapons. I had an AR, and then I had a tactical shotgun. But in that situation, you would use an AR. The tactical shotgun they use on house entries and stuff like that.
Were they fully automatic, yours?
They had the capability of being fully, but you never wanted that. Three rounds is the most unique. You can't keep it on target.
Right.
It's even with three rounds, and it's going to, you shoot your target right where you aim at, the third round's going to be high.
Yeah, so he was about a millimeter from having his head blown completely off.
Straight up miracle. I mean, I don't even think people realize how close that is. Touch your ear right now and then touch your head. And I mean, if it had gone just a little bit to the left,
his head would have been straight instead of angled.
His brains would have blown all over his face.
Unbelievable.
And it was unreal. But I'm going to sit back and I'm going to close my original episode on Saturday. I'm waiting because more shit's coming out.
Every hour it seems like.
Wish they would have caught this asshole alive because that's going to stop all the conspiracy theories and shit that are going to come out. And but the I think for you know the it doesn't matter if it was Trump or Biden or whatever, nobody deserves to be
I would be just as outraged. Absolutely. No matter who it was on that stage, and, honestly.
And the it's just unbelievable. You know, and they said this 20-year-old kid, and I'm not going to say his name because he's a douchebag, bought the rifle legally and obtained it legally.
It was registered to his dad.
Right, right. Well, it was the rifle was bought legally.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can, you know, it goes to show. I mean, I don't understand. They don't announce their sites that far in advance. You know, I mean, maybe on the bigger spots like the when we did it here at Raising Cane's, mm-hmm. whatever they call it now, Raising
Cane's. Yeah, the River Center.
The River Center. So when you, 3 or 4 days ahead of time, where it was going to be, and this shooter had to have it on their mind, and he lived not that far away, but how in the fuck do you get on that building and get 130 yards away from the former president?
From the former president. And it's important to note, we'll close it with this, but it's important to note, Woody, that when you're a former president and when you're a current president, your protection doesn't change a whole lot. You still have pretty much the same size detail. Now, the current president has some classified things that nobody knows about, right. Maybe planes flying way up right. in the sky right. as well. But the people on the ground, it's pretty much the same number. Here's the shocking thing. You have Robert Kennedy Jr. also running for president, and actually double digit. He's doing well for an independent. But he's also running for president. He was denied Secret Service protection. And until the convention, technically, if Trump wouldn't have been a former president, he wouldn't have had any Secret Service protection. Wow. Unless the White House would have granted it. They didn't grant it for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which is shocking considering his history.
I don't know on that. It's always my understanding that presidential candidates at some point, maybe
they do, but it has to be the convention because they're not an official nomination, nominee.
Yeah, right.
So at this point, because the convention is this week, Trump wouldn't have had, unless they would have granted it to him, and they didn't do it for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose uncle and father were killed by assassination. Right. So go figure. Anyway.
I don't know. It's sad. Sad day in America,
It is, and the biggest story, obviously, in the country. And gosh, just shock. Total shock that as much as people say, something's going to happen to him one day.
Yeah.
You never think it's really going to happen.
You know, I always thought, like, even when Obama was president, and not to make it a race thing or whatever, but that racism is a real deal. I figured mm-hmm. somebody out of the backwoods or somewhere was going to at least take a shot at him. Yeah. But what you don't hear about every day is all the plots that are stopped. Whether it's the interviews, the Secret Service going out, somebody saying something, they go out and interview and the person gets scared and doesn't do it, whatever, you'll never know.
It's a great point. Yeah, true.
Anyway, well, let me take you out to Missouri.
Missouri.
This story is so freaking out there, bro. A suspected killer allegedly hunted Kansas City, Missouri sex workers and tortured them with electric currents and forced them to sexually gratify him for food.
Oh, my God.
If you want to eat, you got to do what, right?
All right.
So on Tuesday, Tim Haslett was charged with murder, rape, kidnapping, and sodomy as a part of a growing list of disturbing accusations involving at least two women. The most recent charges are tied to Janie Crossdale, whose decomposed body was found in a blue barrel in the Missouri River last year. But police said they wouldn't be surprised if there were more victims. Haslett told the only known survivor that he would stuff her in one of those barrels like the rest of them. And this is on the affidavit, y'all. Crossdale's body was found last June after decomposed bones fell out of a blue barrel in the Missouri River in Saline County. A survivor who was tortured and forced to be Haslett's sex slave, according to the affidavit, said there were two other women with her at the time. She had managed to escape the dungeon in Hazlitt's Exler Springs home, a suburban area outside of Kansas City, and ran through the neighborhood with a locked metal collar around her neck and a ball gag in her mouth. Right? So a good Samaritan took her in and called 911. Now, the officers responded, and they found the basement bolted by multiple locks, equipped with red lights, paddles, chains, cameras, and all types of things that could be used for torture. Gee. Inside, police recovered a black gas mask, large blue barrels, all kinds of electronics, women's clothes in his bedroom, and a loaded gun hidden in his couch, amongst other things. The police chief told Fox News Digital in August of 2023 that there were electronic gadgets, little wiring for gadgets and stuff, all in one room. He had a bunch of what looked like laptop computer batteries, different circuits and whatnot, Chief Dull said. And then there were the piles of clothing. A lot of them were women's clothing that he was wearing.
Uh-oh.
Right? And then the basement is where he had that room set up where he had allegedly detained his victims. The chief said the exterior walls were concrete and the two interior walls of sheetrock and plywood on the inside. There was a solid wood door with layers of plywood on each side, so the normal solid wood core door was sandwiched between the two half-inch sheets of plywood, right? He armored it up. And then there were a couple of magnetic strips like you would have for the commercial door that locks it. There were two of those on there. Jeez. And she said you can use the keypad to get in or to get out of the room. It was really intricate. This wasn't his first rodeo. Now, Crossdale's death was connected to Hazlitt by pictures on his phone, which was confiscated during the execution of a search warrant on his home. Miss Crossdale appears on a still image taken from Mr. Hazlitt's electronic device showing her inside the basement. This is what the Clay County prosecutor said. An SD card depicting individuals connected to Miss Crossdale was found inside his house. He made statements to the surviving victim that he had taken somebody else's life. Now, Thompson was referring to Hazlitt's alleged threats that he made to the only known survivor who told police. Timothy, and I guess that's what they call him, said he would kill her like the other two girls if she didn't listen. The survivor told police one woman died with the gas mask on and a second woman died by electrocution. The survivor did not know the other woman, and according to the affidavit, often referring to the victim as they or them. The suspect stated to her there were others who didn't make it and ended up in one of those blue barrels. And if she didn't do what he told her to do, one of those barrels was for her. All right? So the chief said the survivor's accusations and details of what she saw and heard have been proven true, which leads law enforcement to believe there are other victims they hadn't found yet. And, you know, goes on into the victimology. Crossdale's family had not heard from her since 2022. And according to her sister, who wished to remain anonymous, Crossdale struggled with addiction and her siblings argued before her disappearance. And it just goes on, y'all. It's basically about the drug habit and all that, which is typical for these guys to pick high-risk victims is what we call them, because they disappear for, you know, days at a time or weeks.
No one's looking for them.
Yeah, they figure they're out on a drug bender or whatever. But that dude's twisted, right?
Let me tell you, he's into some freaky shit, right? And reminds me of Silence of the Lamb, especially when you said he referred to them as them and they. You remember when the Silence of the Lamb guy said it puts the and they do that to disassociate.
Right.
You're not a human being.
Right.
And so I'm not hurting a human being. Right. I'm a they. You're a they.
Right.
Or whatever he was.
Hey, y'all, if you ever get kidnapped and they taught us this stuff in the different classes and things I've been to. You ever get kidnapped? Try to put a human face on yourself. Say, hey, I have kids and that love me and da-da-da-da, whatever. Anything you can do, maybe you will. Probably wouldn't have worked on this dude, but maybe you will hit a human emotion and they will let you go. But
It puts the lotion in the basket. Yeah. That's what he told her.
That's right. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or else it gets the hose again.
Right. Yeah.
That's scary. Right. Yeah. Freak.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD.com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
Woody, did you know you can't see a wrinkle? What we're seeing is the shadow inside the wrinkle. Top Beverly Hills plastic surgeon Dr. Lakey has helped countless celebrities achieve flawless complexions both on and off screen. He says the secret is to eliminate the shadow. And there are two ways you can do that. Fill in the crease itself and reflect light away from the shadow. Fortunately, he's found a way anyone can do just that to achieve a flawless red carpet look right from home. It's called Deep Wrinkle Filler. Deep Wrinkle Filler combines a unique blend of skin-like polymers and light-reflecting diamond dust to visibly fill in the look of fine lines and wrinkles. Best of all, this groundbreaking formula helps nourish the skin to improve its natural texture every time you use it.
Dude, I almost died a few weeks back. If you don't think that gave me some extra wrinkles, I'm in my 40s. I thought it was cool to have a wrinkle or two. Now I get it. Who wants wrinkles?
Agreed. And the best part for me is it's easy to apply, has a pleasing scent, and you notice a difference instantly. Go to BeverlyHillsMD.com/RLRC to get up to 68% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want to visibly fill in stubborn wrinkles, go to BeverlyHillsMD.com/RLRC today. All right, we're going to Denham Springs, Louisiana.
Denham Springs right here.
Right here at home.
Sitting and breathing right now.
And deputies are searching for a man wanted for charges, including domestic violence, kidnapping, after police found a woman with life-threatening stab wounds in the roadway. Christopher Oquan, 35, of Denham Springs, is wanted for domestic abuse, battery, serious bodily injury, domestic abuse, aggravated assault, and second-degree kidnapping. He is also wanted by the DSPD for attempted second-degree murder, armed robbery, and carjacking. So this is not a, awesome citizen here. DSPD officials say they were dispatched to LA Highway 16 in reference to a female in the roadway suffering from an apparent stab wound. And y'all, Highway 16 is a major highway. Yeah, it's right. Not, it's this a, ain't off that, on no side road somewhere.
I live on Highway 16.
Yeah. So the victim was transported to Arleigh, the lake in Baton Rouge with potentially life-threatening injuries. Investigators learned the victim had been beaten inside a vehicle while traveling down Highway 16 as a passenger. When she tried to escape, Oquan allegedly began swinging a knife and struck the victim. Police later found that vehicle abandoned in a parking lot. When Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office began investigating, they learned of an argument at a residence located on Jubin Road between Oquan and the victim prior to the victim being found in the road. Yeah. Oquan was armed with a knife and battered the female while at the resident, resulting in him forcing the female into a vehicle while armed. The victim was able to escape that vehicle, which is where the DSPD investigation began. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of a multi-agency investigation, right, because some of this took place on the parish side of things, and some of this took place in the actual city of Denham Springs.
And the parish helps the city also, and it's their jurisdiction.
Much larger investigation team.
Oh, yeah, and Denham Springs is part of Livingston Parish.
Yeah, very true. Right. Yeah.
But it's crazy, and I'd heard about that or read the headline on it, and I said, let me see if these any assholes I used to deal with, right? But, of course, most of mine are dead or in prison, but that's sad. It's crazy. Crazy story. And
middle of the roadway, this middle woman. Of the
roadway. And that's the same road where I had the guy that stole the car from the gas station, and they had the two kids in it. He didn't realize until after he stole it, and he put them out right there in that road. But anyway. All right. Let's talk about road and driving. Go to Alabama. You're going to shit when you hear this one. So an Alabama mother has been sentenced to decades behind bars after she left her toddler with her abusive partner only for her to stop for cigarettes on the way to the hospital where he died days later. The child died. Samantha McCormick, 30, was sentenced by a Blount County judge to serve 25 years in a state correctional facility in connection to the killing of her 18-month-old son, Enzo McCormick, 5 years ago. She had previously pleaded guilty to felony murder during the course of child abuse. For her partner at the time, 32-year-old Robert Keith Elmore Jr., has already been convicted in the 2023 of capital murder and sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. He just avoided the death penalty because Alabama gave it to him. But the district attorney, Pamela Casey, claimed that McCormick left her son, Enzo, in the care of Elmore despite knowing that he was abusive. The court heard the child had suffered blunt force trauma and violent shaken injuries before his death in September of 2019. Court documents said that the mother willfully maltreated the child by leaving the child in the care, custody, and control of someone that she knew to be abusive. Now, Casey explained that Blount County Emergency Medical Services sheriff deputies were called to Locust Fork Hardware Store at 7 p.m. on September 6, 5 years ago, and found the 18-month-old in respiratory distress, cold to the touch and turning blue. McCormick told investigators at the time that while she was using the bathroom, she heard a noise in the living room and found the toddler choking on cereal, right?
Mm.
Come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to get him examined. However, check this out. She decided to get him examined, right? Because he'd been choking and he's turning blue. But however, on the way to the hospital, she stopped at a store to buy cigarettes and gasoline.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out of here. At the store, she met with Elmore's sister, Heather, who exited the store to check on the child, finding him limp and cold to the touch. And the both women called 911. And Enzo was taken to Children's of Alabama's hospital and placed on a ventilator until September 9th, 2019, when the doctors determined that there's nothing else they could do to save his life. It basically was brain dead. It was later found out that Elmore had been with the toddler while Enzo's mother was at work. And when the cop spoke to Elmore, he claimed that he dropped the toddler because he pulled his chest hairs.
Oh, my gosh.
So a doctor, Valerie Green, who's a forensic pathologist with the Alabama Department of Forensic Sciences, testified that she did an autopsy on the child. She said that Enzo, the child, had multiple contusions on his scalp indicating the child had experienced at least 2 points of impact on his head. She also said he had numerous retinal hemorrhages, and the severity of the injury to the brain made her believe he had been severely shaken. I've worked those cases, unfortunately. Alongside this, Elmore's phone records were also admitted in evidence, which showed at 5:41 p.m. on September 6th, Elmore sent a message to the mother saying that Enzo ain't breathing right. He is limp and almost blue, but he didn't call 911. And she comes and gets him and stops for smokes and gas on the way, right? This story is horrifying. I cannot imagine the pain and suffering his child endured before succumbing to his injuries. The DA said, I cannot understand someone doing what Elmore did, but as a mother, I cannot understand how a mother could leave their child in the care of someone the mother knows to have been abusive to the child. And obviously, there's nothing we could do to bring Enzo back.
There's about nothing in this world worse for me than so that bad. Type of abuse of a toddler. Bad. And there's, look, there's tons of horrible crimes, but that one, it's hard to deal with those.
Right.
And I don't know what sentence would be sufficient for those people, those type of people.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do anything bad enough to
Real Life Real Crime Originals. One of them that pops in my head is Babysitter, and where the guy shook the little baby. And it got to, anyway, we get called out at detectives after the fact and have to go to Children's Hospital in New Orleans. The baby was burned. And we got there, the mama had it covered up, and I had a rookie detective with me. Brad Trilby, I mean, he just wanted to learn. But trying to interview the mom. Now, she's in the trauma care, right?
Yeah.
She's got the baby wrapped up. And he was like, let me see the baby. And she was like, no, there's nothing wrong with the baby. There's nothing wrong with him. And I told her, said, don't worry about it. And we got him outside. And I said, we don't have to worry about it. They're going to document all the injuries. And it turned out the baby had, like, third-degree burns over 90% of his body. God. What happened was the mom worked at Walmart. The boyfriend stayed home with the baby. And I got the confession out of him. And he confessed. He said, I played him. I was like, oh, well, all your friends are out partying. He was a young kid. I said, all your friends are out partying, and you're stuck here with a baby, and it wasn't his baby. And you're stuck here babysitting, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, he admitted that the baby wouldn't shut up. So, he shook him and stuff, and baby wouldn't shut up. So, he turned the water as hot as it would go.
Oh, my God.
And he held the baby underneath the water. And he said, I said, it'll work? He said, yep, it sure did. He said, he quit screaming. He said, then I wrapped him in his blanket and I put him in the bed. And the mama came home from work and naturally went to check on the baby and saw him burn up. Anyway, that's it. Yeah.
You know what I would like to do. Oh, my God.
The stories just come out. There's so many of them. It happens horrible. Every day.
Well, we'll give you something a little more positive and interesting. Mm-hmm. And that is Woody did a story last week on the 1 cent withdrawal, right?
Yeah.
And the guy that got arrested for that. And
give me one a penny.
Yeah. So one of our listeners actually heard that, who is an expert in banking, and she had an interesting story. Yeah.
Hey,
so,
all right.
So Woody did tell that story about a man getting arrested for attempting a 1 cent withdrawal at a bank. And, we have some inside intel in the world of banking with Hancock Whitney Bank's own Lori Johnson informing us that this is actually not as rare as you would think.
Really?
In fact, it's quite common.
Really?
It happens all the time due to bank safeguards on shutting down accounts due to inactivity. Huh. When a bank account is inactive for an extended period of time, it opens that account up to possible theft as well as a whole slew of other issues. So in order to safeguard this, most banks will just close the accounts that are inactive over a long period. Now, if you're like most of us, you have multiple bank accounts, and many people have even multiple bank branches.
Yeah.
So they'll keep the balance low, maybe a couple of dollars, but they don't want the account to close in the event that they ever need it. Right. So they'll go once a month for the express purpose of keeping that account open, and they'll withdraw a penny.
Really?
And that way, that account stays active to where it's not automatically closed.
That's crazy.
So there you have it. Like, straight from the bestie chip.
The best banker ever.
That's it.
Hey, Lori, they allow them to draw a penny?
Yeah. Withdraw a penny. It happens all the time.
I don't think I have enough time my motherfucking day to get out and go withdraw a penny to keep a bank account open.
I don't either, but they do.
If I transfer between accounts now, I do it all online with Hancock Whitney.
Yeah.
Who's your sponsors.
Yeah, that's right.
I have multiple accounts with them.
Yeah, me too.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was as common as it was.
We need to get Lori in one day to tell some bank.
I'll tell you what, she has a lot of fraud stories that would blow your mind.
I hate to always make it about work, but this weekend we do that thing. Maybe we'll pick her brain a little bit.
There you go.
So anyway, love you, Lori Johnson, and your my doppelganger, and your awesome daughters.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right. This one's going to be a little bit disturbing, and here we go. They had audio from two newly released 911 calls that detail the awful moment two bypassers spotted a teen corpse lying naked and bloodied by the roadside. Now, Noah Presgrove, who's 19, was found dead last September next to Highway 81 in Jefferson County, Oklahoma. The recent high school grad had been drinking and partying for 4 days with his friends. We did the same thing. Presgrove's corpse was discovered lying in a fetal position, wearing nothing but a pair of mismatched slip-on shoes. His teeth were scattered around him, skull fractured and ribs broken. But the police not treating the case as a murder. Oklahoma Highway Patrol described Presgrove's death as suspicious. You think?
Mm.
10 months into the law enforcement's case, police have released a harrowing audio from 911 calls following a public record request made by People magazine. Two distressed witnesses contacted dispatchers at approximately 6 a.m. on September the 4th. A man who identified himself on the call only as Tyler said he wasn't sure what he saw laying on the shoulder of the road as the rural highway was cloaked in darkness. He first believed that the mass in the road could have been a deer before finally concluding it looked like a body. It looked awful odd, Tyler said in the Labor Day call. The man identified himself as Tyler Harding, called 911 shortly after the first witness. Now, the second Tyler also, I guess they're both named Tyler, mistook the body as a deer on his morning commute to work. I'm pretty sure somebody's laying dead along the road, he told dispatcher, adding, they look naked. I'm staying back. Hardy continued to position his vehicle to block the road with the body lying close to the white lines near the hard shoulder. It actually looks like there's a piece of clothing maybe laying in the middle of the road, he said. The man added that he was fearful of getting too close. Now, a third call took place seconds before Hardy's, lasting 20 seconds, and was full of static. They think that also may have been like an accidental panic dial from Hardy. But on the day of Presgrove's death, he had been attending a 20-second birthday party that lasts for 4 days. That's a hell of a party. His friends said that Presgrove wanted to go for a walk, but could not find one of his shoes, so he took another. What happened next remains shrouded in mystery. Now, the teen's family say they have not been allowed to see a copy of the medical examiner's report outlining his cause of death. And his brother believes that foul play was involved. He said he was in a fetal position and his body was covered up. You can see blood seeping through the covering. And as I'm looking at it, it just seems weird, he told News Nation. Now, Aunt Robin Smith told the outlet that they didn't think that a vehicle inflicted the injuries. And on Tuesday, April 30th, the county medical examiner revealed the young man's cause of death was multiple blunt force injuries. In May, the Oklahoma Department of Public Safety confirmed that the young man's death is not being investigated as a murder. While that report answered how he died, the manner of death, what causes blunt force injuries, remains a mystery. And the medical examiner checked the unknown box on the final report, right? That's crazy. I've worked cases like this, and you get hit in the road. First thing you come out of is your shoes. But how do you end up butt naked, blunt force trauma, and there's no sign of a vehicle? You hit somebody hard enough to kill them, you're going to leave pieces of your vehicle in the road.
Sure.
But again, the autopsy is a process of elimination. If they can't figure out anything, and not even asphyxia, I know that family wants some answers.
Yeah, they want some answers, and it is strange.
6 o'clock in the morning, butt naked, except for mismatched shoes.
Yeah, it's also very strange. Well, not strange. There's a reason for it, but almost always when a vehicle hits a person, they're knocked out of their shoes.
Almost every case. And a lot of your major car wrecks, well, I can say with like 95% of vehicle crashes I work where people get ejected, they lose their shoes, at least one. And females lose their shirts.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm talking about ones that go through the windshields and shit. Yeah.
Oh, how about a little super cops? All right, so we are going to give you a super cop, and this is hot off the press. This actually just happened yesterday. Sunday. This will drop on Tuesday. But early Sunday morning, a Baton Rouge police corporal by the name of Tavion Slaughter single-handedly arrested individuals as part of a large vehicle ring, burglary ring, actually, in Baton Rouge. Corporal Slaughter was working an extra duty detail and investigating multiple vehicle burglaries when he ran across the criminals.
There you go.
How about that? While you're investigating, there they are.
Time to time. Yeah.
Yeah, so the officer recovered 11 guns,
nice.
Two of which were returned to the owners, and Corporal Gregory Sublett assisted with that investigation. So this is a rather large, they've had a lot of vehicle burglaries in Baton Rouge that are specifically related to one ring. And it looks like Mr. Slaughter, while he's working a little extra duty, ran right across the people doing it. But shout out to him for having the bravery to single-handedly.
He could have been working extra duty, just sitting in his vehicle drawing a paycheck, but he's out there actually working and getting the job done.
Yeah, that's right.
And that he stopped a lot more vehicle burglaries. And you know what?
I think so.
Being a victim of vehicle burglary sucks.
Yeah, it's happened to you.
Yeah, it did. And I put that motherfucker in prison too.
Yeah, he probably picked the wrong person to steal from.
Good super cop.
Good super cop. Shout out to you, Tavion Slaughter, Corporal.
Yep.
Tavion Slaughter.
Yep. For sure.
Very good.
Very good. Let's see. It's really, really, really hot outside, and what goes really, really, really hot is ice cold beer.
It does indeed.
O'Hara's on 3rd Street, downtown Baton Rouge, 136 3rd Street. Y'all go check them out.
Coldest beer in town.
Oh, my God. And like 20 or 30-something different beers on tap.
Yeah.
And good cold AC, good Irish pub, and you'll see me down there more often than not.
Frequently.
Very good. Tell Brian Ott we said hello.
Yeah,
but that's right. We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Prayers for the country.
Amen.
And hopefully, I don't know what's going to come out of this. I'm waiting to the end of the week, and before I really espouse what I'm really thinking. But every day, the investigation's rolling. All 24 hours a day, every 60 minutes an hour, there are thousands of people working on this. And they got to take the evidence, put it back together, and reconstruct what happened. It's going to be interesting to see. And then, of course, after that, you'll get all the conspiracy theories.
Yep.
And shit. But other than that, we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for continuing to like and listen and share and all that good podcast shit.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.